for my first episode, I have three stories for you. My first story is 1977, Calgary, Alberta. So this story is about the murder mystery of Barbara Jane McLean and Melissa Rohorick. Or Rohoricki? It's very hard to pronounce. These are Indigenous women that actually were murdered. So that's kind of the story that I'm going to start with. So as of today, the case is still unsolved and is still open. What happened was on February 25th, 1977, this would be the last time anyone would see Barbara Jean McLean alive. She was last seen with her boyfriend at this bar called the Highlander. They were seen having an argument. After the argument ended, witnesses stated that her boyfriend had driven off around 2:30 a.m. and had left her alone at the bar. So apparently she decided to hitchhike. In 1977, that's not really the best decision. I mean, like, there's a lot going on, a lot of mysteries, a lot of murders, a lot of missing people, especially Indigenous women. A lot of them were hitchhiking because back then, you know, it was very hard to obtain transportation or have a car, you know, so that was kind of like one of the main ways to get around. And especially dangerous at night, especially around 2:30 in the morning, I would say. So she was supposed to go to another party, but she had never arrived. So the next day, a man was out for a walk with his dog and stumbled upon her body. After further speculation, police believed her murder was connected to the Melissa Rohorick's case as well. She was also murdered while hitchhiking. This was on September 16th. She had left the YMCA. She had planned to hitchhike as well. She was planning to head to the city for the weekend, but she had never arrived. So the police had one more suspect. His name was Gary McStalker, which is kind of an ironic name. I mean, like, was he a stalker, you know? But anyway, sorry, getting off topic. So anyways, he was known as a sex offender, but when the police went to question him, he actually committed suicide before the police had a chance to talk to him. Apparently, he got wind of the police wanting to talk with his involvement of another case. Now, this case wasn't about Barbara Jean or Melissa. They wanted to question him about another murder. This girl's name was Trina McPhee. I wasn't really able to find much on her except like the way she died. So Barbara had been strangled. Melissa had been strangled as well, but sexually assaulted too. And Trina couldn't really find any information on her death. But all I know is that it was kind of around the same connections to the case. So I assume that there were similarities between the murders. So as of today, it still is an open investigation. I mean, they don't really have a lot of leads, considering back then there wasn't a lot of DNA development or fingerprints, so it was kind of hard to locate who was who, you know? But like, I understand like where they're coming from. Like, I mean, like, it was a pretty dangerous situation to be hitchhiking in the middle of the night. Wasn't really a good choice. But, yeah, so that was my first case, the mystery of Barbara Jean and Melissa. I couldn't really find a lot of information on it because it was in 1977, so there weren't really a lot of leads or, you know, talk about the killings. So the second story that I have for you is called The Mystery Serial Killer of Calgary. So this one is also stationed in Alberta as well. So back then, many believed that Calgary actually had a serial killer on the loose. Since the 1990s to about the 2000s, the rise in murders of prostitutes raised the suspicion. When the line of murder started, there was a lot of prostitutes being murdered. So after a while, they kind of started connecting the dots that it was the same murderer. Now, the first case started with a girl named Jennifer Jans. She was found on August 1991. Since then, a total of four more victims had been found. So their bodies were found between 1991 to 1993. All the bodies had been put in shallow graves though, so it was kind of hard to tell how long the body's been there, how long the decomposition was. And even back then, there still wasn't really a lot of research to go on. I mean, like, they were still in the testing process, so it was kind of a little hard for them. So it was, where are we? Sorry, I lost my place here. So after 1993, people believed the killer had died or stopped because no more bodies were uncovered, but many believed that the killer actually went to Edmonton to continue his murders. Because also around the years of 1997 to the 2000s, there were another 12 murders that were uncovered in Edmonton with the same similarities to the murders in Calgary. Same style of murder, shallow graves as well, and it's also the victims were prostitutes. But everything is still under investigation and it still remains open today, but many believe that the sole killer still remains on the loose. So, not a lot of phone calls have been brought in. There's lots of Crime Stoppers and lots of different sites you can go on to find out more about these cases. They didn't really have much information on the victims that I could find. But if you feel free to look it up, you can. So my last story for you I have is called Highway of Tears. So this one is actually stationed in British Columbia. I actually found this really cool site where it tells you about all the unsolved murders in Canada. So I'm really happy that I found this one. There's a lot of interesting cases, which I'm sure eventually I will find some more interesting stuff for you guys. But again, as I said, this is my first podcast and, you know, I know I'm going to be a little bit rough on it, but hopefully you enjoy it. So this one is about the highway murders. So there's a highway that is infamous for its string of murders from 1969 all the way up to 2011. Now the murders had occurred between Prince George and Prince Rupert in British Columbia on Highway 16. Now the police have released a list of victims, and I mean this list is long. There's over 40 different victims on this list with a whole entire paragraph of stories. Now on my pages, after each video, I will upload pictures, maps, a little bit more information about the case. If you feel free to check it out, that would be great. Ratings too are accepted. So anyways, back to the story. So after disclosing the list of victims, the count of victims that could be confirmed were 19, but many believe the count is actually higher to about 40. But because of the undocumented First Nations women being abducted from the same highway, it was not really recorded, which is a very sad thing. You know, I mean, like back then, there wasn't really a lot of paper trails that you could find on some of the Indigenous women out there. So it kind of made it a little hard for police to connect the dots on those. So many of the murders and abductions are unsolved due to proposed explanations. The limited progress of identifying the culprits, also including the systematic racism, poverty, drug abuse, and widespread domestic violence, and disconnection of traditional culture, family units. There was a lot of people in foster care, a lot of people that were runaways. It made it very hard to identify who was responsible for the victims. Most of them actually hitchhiked. There wasn't really a lot of transportation for them, so it was really hard for them to get to work, to schools. Even if they had medical appointments, they actually had to hitchhike or walk. So it actually was really hard to determine when people disappeared, how they went missing, where they were headed to. I mean, like, there were like a lot of people who had cell phones, especially if they were having that hard of a problem getting transportation. I'm sure no one could like really keep track as well as, you know, we could, because we all have cell phones and GPS trackers in our cars. But, you know, try to think of how hard it would be for them. They don't have, you know, the luxuries we have. They can't just, you know, call a cab or call an Uber. So, you know, it's kind of a little sad in some places. But anyways, so many of the disappearances led from everyone hitchhiking. It also is a largely isolated and remote area. I mean, like, this is a huge area we're talking about. Like, the map I'm going to be uploading there will show you the actual length of how far people were hitchhiking, and it was really far. Like, I mean, like, they would be hitchhiking for, like, 10 to 11 hours just to get to town. So, it was very... very remote. And there was a lot of, in the parts of the forest, there's a lot of soft soils. So in many of the areas, they have lots of carnivorous scavengers that actually carry away human remains. So that actually makes it difficult for the police to obtain evidence or proof of, like, you know, like footsteps, you know, like things that you could actually get from a real crime scene. But for them, it's kind of hard because of how remote, how many animals, how much traffic there is through the forest. So it doesn't really help with their recovery of evidence. There are over 223 murders and disappearances between 1998 and 2020. So there's a lot of cases that are still open, still being investigated today. One of the cases actually has been solved. Now, this case connects to the murders of four. So the person that actually was found guilty, his name is, and I know I'm not going to pronounce this right, Cody Leabokoff. He was found guilty on four counts of murder. The trial actually began in September 2013, but was soon delayed until October. Then another unexpected delay ended up causing it not to start until June 24th. The judge and 12 jurors heard over 93 Crown witnesses and defendants' testimonies that actually brought him to the result of him being guilty. There was a lot of evidence against him. So it's not like they were just accusing someone. There was a trail of evidence against this kid. And I actually have pictures of him and the four girls that were murdered. So I have put that up. So hopefully you can check that out. But many speculations are still passed around that the actual serial killer of most of the disappearances and murders, his name is Bobby Jack Fowler. Now, most of the killings, they think were caused from this guy named Bobby, but the police have yet to prove anything or connect him to any of the murders, which, you know, with a lot of speculation from people, I don't understand how there's not much evidence against him yet, but hopefully they'll be able to find something. So anyways, those are my three stories for you. I know it's not really that long because, as I said, again, it's still my first podcast.
That's all I have for you for this episode. This was our very first episode on Creepaholics. Thank you so much for everybody who tuned in. I'm your host, Shanice. You can find me on many platforms, and I also have a Patreon, so keep a look on what's going on there. Again, thank you so much, everybody, for enduring my very first episode. It will get better as I go on. Thank you so much, and keep creeping it real, everyone. Love you. Bye.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now. Ha 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 ha.